You may remember last Sunday evening, we preached a message about three Old Testament Bible characters who were longing for Christmas. And we talked about their prophecies in the scripture. One of those was Job. And you may remember Job was looking forward to having somebody that could intercede on his behalf. And so he was asking for that, longing for that, desiring that. And so we talked about how that he was longing for Christmas. And when we say Christmas, we mean what we celebrate at Christmas, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to be the Savior of the world, to be our interceder, to be our mediator, to be our advocate, our high priest. And that's what Job was looking forward to. And then we talked about Isaiah. And Isaiah has many prophecies about the coming of our Savior. Matter of fact, we read some of that this morning. In the morning message, we were in Isaiah chapter 53. And we talked about how Isaiah prophesied the coming of the Savior and how he was going to come to die on the cross for our sins, that he would exchange take our sin upon him so that we could be made the righteousness of God in him. And so we talked about that this morning, how he took our sin upon him so that we could be made the righteousness of God in him. And so Isaiah, as he gave prophecies in the Old Testament of our Bible, he was looking forward to Jesus coming, and he was looking forward and longing for Christmas because he was desiring a light to come into a dark world. You probably remember that last week when we talked about the story of Isaiah and how he longed for a light to come into a dark world. By the way, when Jesus came, he did become our advocate. He did become our high priest. He did become our mediator. And he also became a light in a dark world, didn't he? And we're thankful for what he did when he came as a light. And then, by the way, I often remind myself of this when I think about light. I think about how that Jesus, yes, came to bring light into a dark world. But we also, now that Jesus is in heaven, we're to let our light shine, aren't we? And we're to be a light in a dark world as well. But then we moved on to the story of Micah, and how that Micah gives some prophecy for us in the Old Testament of the Bible as well, as one of the minor prophets. And he was longing for, desiring Christmas Day, because he wanted to know that there was a king that was coming, that was a greater king than David. Remember, Jesus was going to be born in Bethlehem. That was the city of David. And Bethlehem was a very important city for those that lived in Bethlehem, because remember, they acknowledged that place as being the place where the great King David came from. But there was a king that was going to come that was greater, far greater than David, wasn't there? And the Lord Jesus Christ was going to come, and he was going to be born in that manger and die on the cross for our sins. And we talked about how that those three Old Testament Bible characters longed for Christmas. They were looking forward to it. They were desiring for Christmas to come. Well, tonight, I want to, on just the tail of that, I want to use Luke chapter 2 and Matthew chapter 2 tonight to talk about some men that we read about in Scripture who found Christmas. There were some men last week we talked about who sought Christmas. They were desiring for it to come. But then we're going to talk tonight about two groups of men who found Christmas. And so let's read in detail the story of these two groups of men. We're going to start in Luke chapter number 2, and we're going to read the story about the shepherds. That's the first group of men we're going to talk about tonight, the shepherds who found Christmas. And again, every time I use the word Christmas, I wanted to remind our hearts about what we mean when we say Christmas. We're talking about the true meaning of Christmas, the fact that Jesus came. So they found Christmas, didn't they? And we're going to notice it in Luke chapter 2. Look with me if you would, and we'll read a few verses here, so if you'd stay with me. We're going to start in verse number 8. The Bible says in verse 8, "And there were in the same country shepherds," there they are, there's the group of men that found Christmas, "abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid." Now, we have a conversation that the angel, one angel at start, has with the shepherds. Notice the Bible says this, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel, one angel, now a multitude, the Bible says, of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. And you can imagine what this angelic choir would have sounded like, right? Now look at verse 15. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Now notice verse 20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. There's story number one of a group of men, the shepherds, who truly found Christmas, truly found the real meaning behind Christmas, this season that we celebrate right now. Remember, there were some in the Old Testament that longed for it, they desired it, they looked for it, but they were not here in the day in which Jesus came. But now here's one group of men who were here when Jesus came, and they found Christmas that day, didn't they? Now look with me, if you would, at Matthew chapter number 2. Matthew chapter 2. Now this story, of course, is sometime later when Jesus was small in the house, the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter number 2. But there's a group of wise men who have an opportunity to visit Jesus and who have an opportunity to worship him. And so this is the second group of men that we're going to notice tonight who were able to find the Christ in Christmas. They were able to find Christmas. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Jesus should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. Now, of course, we're reading in verse 6 what we talked about last week. The prophet Micah, who longed and desired for Christmas to come. And he's talking about the fact that Jesus is going to be born in Bethlehem. So look at verse 6. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not thou the least among the princes of Judah? For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. Now I think we know enough about this story to know that Herod's true desire is not to worship Jesus. Instead, he wants to do away with him, which, by the way, I think we challenged ourselves with that this morning, didn't we? We talked about how that we have an enemy. We have a roaring lion, the Bible says, who's walking about and he's seeking whom he may devour, one that wants to devour us, just like Herod wanted to devour Jesus, right? He wanted to put him to death. The devil certainly wanted to mess the plan of God up, and he wants to mess the plan of God up in your life as well. But we're rejoicing. We were rejoicing this morning in the morning message when we said that Jesus put a stop to that when he died on the cross, didn't he? And the Bible said he got victory. His death gave victory over the one that had the power of death, that is the devil. You remember we talked about that this morning in Hebrews chapter number 2. So the Bible says he's desiring, oh, you come back, you tell me when you found him so I can go and worship him, really desiring, of course, to devour him. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 9. When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Now notice verse 11. You're going to notice in verse 11, they truly found the Christ of Christmas. They found Christmas. Look at verse 11. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Remember, God had it all under control, didn't he? and he sent them by a message of the warning of a dream. He sends them the message to return another way, and Herod is not able to harm Jesus as he desires to. He's not able to devour him and do away with God's plan as he desires to. But here are two groups of men, Luke chapter 2, Matthew chapter number 2, who found the Christ of Christmas. We talked last week about men who sought for Jesus, desired, longed for him to come. But they were not here during the time that Jesus came. But these wise men and these shepherds were here on earth when Jesus came. And they truly found the Christ of Christmas. Now, before we go any further and talk about these two groups of men tonight, I want you to consider the opposite of this part of our message tonight as well. We're talking about those who found the Christ of Christmas, but many during that first Christmas moment or season of time were very close, but yet they missed it all, didn't they? Oh, they were so close to where the Christ of Christmas was, but they missed it all. Matter of fact, we just read about one, Herod. He missed it all, didn't he? I mean, here's the Christ that's coming to give him hope of eternal life, and he missed it all, didn't he? We think about the innkeeper who really was very close to where Jesus was, but he missed it all. I think about those political and religious leaders. Matter of fact, Herod was even talking about them there. We were talking about them with Herod's conversation with these men in Matthew chapter number 2, very close to where Jesus was, close to the time of his birth and the surroundings that took place when he was born. But they missed it all, didn't they? So there were some that were close, but missed it all. Then there were some that we read about here in Matthew 2 and Luke chapter number 2 that found it. Two groups of men that found Christmas. And I want to talk about them just for a few minutes tonight. Number one, I want us to notice the contrast between these two groups of men. The contrast, because there are some differences between these two groups of men that point to a wonderful truth tonight. I'm not just going over this just to fill moments of the message tonight. This is something that is going to help us to understand a wonderful truth, a wonderful way in which we can apply this message and this story to our lives tonight. First of all, let's think about the shepherds, and then we will contrast them to the wise men. The shepherds were lowly men. As a matter of fact, shepherds would be men that were despised. They were men that were mistrusted. It was said of shepherds in the Bible days that they were not even allowed to bear witness or give testimony in a court of law because they just simply could not be trusted, or at least that's what they were known to be like. Mistrusted and very despised individuals. They were men that we would say, this is the best label that we could give to them, they were unimportant to other people. Shepherds were just lowly individuals. But then let's contrast them to the wise men, and then let's make the application, or let's pull out the truth that I hope every one of us can understand tonight. The wise men were much different because they were men of influence. We could say it this way, they were men of importance. We talked about how the shepherds were unimportant to others, but the wise men were men of influence. They were men of importance. They had, as a matter of fact, we just read about it a minute ago, they had such importance and such influence that when they came to where Herod was, the Bible tells us that they had no trouble at all even gaining access into Herod's palace. Now think about that in the story. The Bible tells us as they were following this star, they get to where Herod is and they have direct access right to the palace of Herod so that they can come right before him and they can begin to speak to him. Now the opposite of that would have been true of a shepherd. A shepherd would not have even been allowed into the outer courtyard of the palace. There's no way you're gaining access right to the very palace or inside the very palace of Herod because of the unimportance of a shepherd, but yet the influence and the importance of a wise man. So what is the application, or what is the truth that every one of us can pull out of this tonight? The truth is this: Christ is for everyone, isn't he? Christ is for everyone. We talked about how that they came and they were seeking after Jesus. And they found him, and we're going to get to that in just a moment, and found out that Christ is for everyone. Christ is for those that are considered important. Christ is for those that are considered, maybe perhaps by others, unimportant. Christ is for those that are considered influential and maybe those that do not have a whole lot of influence at all. Christ is for the poor and Christ is for the rich. Christ is for those that seem near to him and those that maybe perhaps seem far away. Think about how close the shepherds were to where Jesus was, and yet how far away the wise men were, and how that Christ is someone who is available to those that are far away and maybe feel like they're distant from the Savior, and those that maybe feel a little bit closer or nearer to him. The Bible says that he is for everyone. And so Christ came into this world for everyone, didn't he? So that he could die on the cross once for all to save all mankind. And so there's, yes, many contrasts between these two men, but yet they found out that Christ was for everyone. The second part of the message I want you to notice tonight is this, and I want to give you three truths here tonight that I hope we can apply to the men that we're looking at tonight, the shepherds and the wise men. There were a lot of contrasts between these two men, the shepherds and the wise men, but yet they had an experience that was very similar. And that's what we're going to get to look at tonight. They had an experience that was very similar. And I want to give you three thoughts tonight that I hope will be able to help you when we look at these two groups of men, the wise men and the shepherds. Thought number one tonight, where we consider their experience being similar. Number one, I want you to notice both of them received an announcement about Christ's birth. Both of them received an announcement about Christ's birth. Now, it was in a different way. For the shepherds, it was an angel. And the angel came and he delivered that message to the shepherds when they were out in the field. Then that whole entire heavenly choir joins that angel and they give praise to the Lord. So that's how they received the announcement. The wise men, in a different way, they received the announcement from the star, didn't they? But even though the way that they received the announcement was different, they both received the announcement about the birth of the Savior. Now, here's the good news for us. We have the ability to receive all the information that we desire to know about the Lord in our lives today as well, don't we? And we're not receiving that from an angel. We're not receiving that by looking up in the air and seeing a star. Something's not going to drop from heaven and be able to help us to know what to do. We're not going to have some type of a dream like we saw the wise men had in the Bible story that we read tonight. But we do have the Word of God, don't we? And we can go to the Word of God for the source that we have today for the announcements and the instructions and the guidelines and the advice and the wisdom and the counsel that God has for us. As a matter of fact, I want you to quickly take your Bible and I want you to turn with me, if you would, to 2 Peter chapter number 1. And I want us to notice what the Bible has to say about this. In 2 Peter chapter number 1, we talked about how that they received an announcement. One announcement was through an angel, the other through a star, and we have the glorious copy of the Scriptures that we can go to be able to have the answers that we need. And notice what the Bible says here in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 19, the Bible says this: we have also a more sure word of prophecy. What's he saying here? He's saying we have the Scriptures. We have the Bible. We have a more sure word of prophecy. Notice how he says it: whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. What is the Bible, this more sure word of prophecy? What is it referred to as? What is the illustration that's given there in the middle of verse number 19? The Bible says it's like a light that shines in a dark place. Aren't you thankful for your Bible that you have? That a copy of the Word of God can be in our hands tonight, and it is like a light. It is illustrated as a light that shines in a dark place. Oh, we have a copy of the Word of God today, and as a result of that, we have all the instruction that God wants us to have. Remember, we said this morning that this book is profitable for us, isn't it? It's profitable to help teach us and to help guide us and give us the counsel and the wisdom that we need. But hold on now, this passage of Scripture doesn't end there. Look with me, if you would, at verse number 20. The Bible says this: knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. And then look at verse 21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. What he's saying is the word of God came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now we go back to what the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter number 3, where it says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. That word inspiration means God breathed, right? So God breathed every single word of the Bible. We have a word by word copy of God's word. He has preserved it for us today. Isn't that great? We even have a copy of it in our own language so that we can read it today. And he says, here's how God chose to do that. He breathed every word of it. And then notice what it says at the middle part of verse number 21, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Matter of fact, here's the way we would word it at times when we're talking about the Word of God and the Scripture. We talk about how that men wrote down the very words that God gave them. So we say it this way, that book, whatever book we happen to be talking about, that book was written by this author, and we always say this little phrase, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, right? God moved to pen and write every word that we have in our Bibles, and that's God's wisdom. That's God's counsel. That's God's direction. It's His guidance for us today. Just like the announcement was given from the angels to the shepherds and the star helped to guide the wise men, we have the Word of God today. We have a more sure word of prophecy, as the Bible says here in 2 Peter chapter number 1. Now, the second thought that I want to give you tonight about these two groups of men. Number one, we see that said that both of them received an announcement about Christ's birth. But number two, I want you to notice this. Both of these groups of men, number two, obeyed God's call. Number two, they obeyed God's call. It's one thing to receive a message, but it's another thing to say, I'm going to heed the message and the instruction that has been given to me. Because remember, we talked about how that there were many that were very close to where Jesus was when Christmas, that first Christmas day, took place. But they missed it all, didn't they? But here's a group of shepherds. Here's a group of wise men that received a message and they heeded. They obeyed the call of God. They obeyed the instructions that He gave. We'll say it this way because I think it goes so well with our theme this year. They responded to the invitation. We've been talking about that a lot this year, haven't we? Invitations that God gives in His Word. They responded to the invitation. Now, can you imagine with me tonight if you would? I almost thought this to be something that would be outrageous to say in the message tonight. Can you imagine? But it did happen, so we certainly can imagine it. Can you imagine the wise men or the shepherds, either of these groups of men, refusing this invitation that was given to them? To come to where the baby was? To be able to worship Him? See, we can imagine it happening because, again, we talked about groups of people that did. They didn't respond to the invitation. But can you imagine refusing this invitation? Now, the wise men could have perhaps used some reasoning behind why they couldn't come to worship the Savior. After all, the Bible tells us that they made a 600-mile journey to get to where Jesus was. One of the wise men could have given the excuse, well, that distance is a little bit too long. And as a matter of fact, because that distance is too long, I'd say it's not a convenient trip to take. It would be more convenient for us to just stay here at home than to travel and follow that star. I'd rather in a convenient way just stay at home. They certainly could have used that as a reasoning behind why they weren't going to go and visit and worship the Lord Jesus. Think about the shepherds. Were there any reasonings or reasons that they could give? Well, maybe their reasoning could be, well, you're asking us to leave our sheep? I mean, we're shepherds. That's what we do. We take care of our sheep. You're asking us to leave the sheep out in the field and go to find this baby that you say is in a manger and go worship Him? I don't know that that'll be so convenient for us to leave our sheep in the field. Or maybe perhaps they'd say, we don't have anything to bring. Remember, the wise men had gifts to bring, didn't they? They had gold and frankincense and myrrh. The shepherds, again, because of their occupation, so lowly and unimportant and insignificant, they didn't have a whole lot to bring. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that all they did is really they just spent some time worshiping him and praising him for who he was. We don't have anything to bring. We don't have any fancy gifts to bring. So after all, it's probably not convenient for us to be able to go and visit Jesus. But that is not what these two groups of men said, did it? Is it? The Bible says the wise men responded to the invitation and they obeyed the calling of God and they went and worshiped the Savior. The Bible says the shepherds did the same thing. They responded to the invitation and they went and they worshiped the Savior when he was born. Now that reminds me of many times excuses that maybe perhaps we may hear today when it comes to maybe perhaps an invitation to a service. You may remember, some of you that have been here for any length of time, you may remember we had years and years and years ago, we had a special Sunday here and we called it No Excuse Sunday. Everybody remember that? No Excuse Sunday. And we said, what we're going to do is, this was years ago, what we're going to do is we're going to give everybody an answer to their excuse that they come up with. And we're going to have it right here at the church. So you can't find any excuse to be able to say you're missing church because we'll hear the excuses, won't we? And as a matter of fact, back at that day, I remember the time we were trying to prepare and try to put all that together. We decided that it would be probably a good idea for us over the years of all the excuses we've heard over the years to maybe even form some kind of a book and write them down to be able to see if we could number those excuses we heard. I mean, just excuse after excuse after excuse, not only for missing church, but maybe perhaps at times where we just say, well, it's not real convenient for me to even serve the Lord today or for me to even fulfill my responsibility that I have to the Lord, and people that find excuses or ways around it. But these men didn't do that, did they? They responded to the invitation. They obeyed the call. As a matter of fact, quickly, if you would, take time to go back to those passages just for a moment. Look at Luke chapter 2 with me, if you would, quickly. Luke chapter 2, I know we already read it, but I'm going to emphasize a verse here. Luke chapter 2, and look with me, if you would, at verse number 15. Luke chapter 2 and verse number 15, the Bible says this, "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another." I love the first three words in their conversation. Look at what they say. "Let us now go." The first four words, I'm sorry. "Let us now go. We've been invited to be able to find this babe that's wrapped in a manger. Let us now go," he says, "even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." What did they do? They responded to the call, didn't they? They had received an announcement. And they responded to the call. Look with me, if you would, at Matthew chapter 2 quickly. Matthew chapter 2. And I want to emphasize something in Matthew 2 here real quick. Would you look at Matthew 2 again? We are already there. But look at verse 1. And then I want to emphasize something in verse number 2. Look at verse 1. "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east," excuse me, "and are come to worship him." We've received the announcement, and now we have made a 600 mile journey to get to where he is so that we could worship him. By the way, can I insert a thought here real quick that I hope will encourage you tonight? They made that 600 mile trip because they thought it was worth it. It was worth it to worship the Savior. We've received the announcement. We've been given the invitation, and we're going to respond to that invitation, and we're going to come and be obedient to his calling, be obedient to his invitation. Now, the question for you tonight is this, by way of application: are you obedient to God's callings? Are you obedient to the invitations that he gives to you? As he calls you and as he tries to guide and lead you in your life, are you obedient to those calls? Are you obedient to those invitations, those invites that God gives to us? The first thing we said is that both of these groups of men received an announcement. Number two, they obeyed the call, or they responded to the invitation. But the last thing I want us to notice is this tonight, and I hope this will bring joy to your heart. Number three, they both found the Savior, didn't they? They both found the Savior. Both of these groups of men truly found Christmas. They found the Christ of Christmas, didn't they? They received the announcement. They heeded the announcement. They heeded the invitation. They responded to it. And then the Bible says as a result of that, they found the Savior. Look with me if you would. We're in Matthew chapter 2, or at least I hope you're still there. Look with me if you would at verse number 11. Matthew chapter 2 and verse number 11. The Bible says this, and being warned of God, And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented to him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. What does the early part of that verse say? It says when they came into the house, they saw the young child. They found him, didn't they? They found him. Here's the invitation. Then I'm going to respond, or the announcement. Then I'm going to respond to that invitation. And then as a result, I found the Savior. Now turn with me one last time to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, and I want us to finish by looking at verse number 16 this evening. Luke chapter 2 and verse number 16. The Bible says this, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. What does the Bible say? The Bible says they found Jesus, didn't they? They found the Savior. So the process went this way. They received an announcement. The Bible says they responded to that invitation, or they obeyed and heeded the call. And then as a result, they were able to find the Savior. For one, it was from the words of an angel and then a group of angels. And they respond to that message. For the other, it was the message of a star. And by the way, both of those groups of men found those messages to be true, didn't they? These were not deceitful messages. These were not messages that just led us on some kind of a wild goose chase. I mean, we found what we were told we were going to find. And we were able to worship. And then as a result, the shepherds, the Bible says, left that place. And they went away glorifying God. They went away spreading the message that this Savior had come to the world, which is the message we spread today, isn't it? And so how will, again, we respond to such a message as we heard tonight? When God gives to us instructions, we have it from His Word. Will we obey? Will we heed the call? Will we respond to the invitation? Because the Bible says, as we do, we'll be able to find what we are looking for. Jesus even says that in the book of Matthew when He says, "Seek and ye shall find." God says, I want you to find. Have you found salvation? What a blessing to know that we're saved, right? That we've been able to find salvation. Have you found God's will for your life? He's got it clearly marked in His Word, doesn't He? We just have to read it and find out what His will for our life is. Are you responding to invitations He gives to you? Are you, as you hear the preaching of the Word of God, as you're reading through your Bible, are you responding to the invitations God gives to you so that you can be the Christian God wants you to be and you can be growing to be the child of God that God wants you to be? Growing in Christ, growing to become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's hear the message as we have opportunity to look into the Word of God. Let's respond and be obedient to the call and respond to the invitation. And then we can have the promise that Jesus, that we'll be able to find Him. Those men that found Christ at Christmas. So again, last Sunday night, we talked about some men who longed for Christmas to come. And then we talked about some men that were here when Jesus came. And how they were able to find Jesus, the Christ of Christmas. May we be encouraged by this tonight. May we respond tonight as God has spoken to our heart and just talk to Him in whatever way He's challenged us tonight. Maybe to be a better Christian or maybe to respond in some way and do what He'd have for us to do tonight as we think of this Christmas season that's upon us and all that we can accomplish for His honor and His glory. Father, I thank You tonight for the truths from Scripture. I thank You for the truths from God's Word.